You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, good to be here. Welcome along to the Punt Podcast here with William Hill as myself, Dave Kellner, Derek McGovern and Tom Kerwin get ready to dissect all 10 matches this Premier League weekend. First of all, a warm welcome to Derek McGovern. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Dave. Welcome back to you as well, back from your jaunt to Vegas, I hear. Good time was had by it, was it?
Oh, it was a fantastic time, Derek. Obviously, I missed being on this podcast. I missed chatting to you and getting all your best bets for the week. Yes. But I survived somehow, Derek.
They say what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, especially your money.
No doubt about that, Derek. Tom, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. Obviously, you were on the high rollers table, you know, listening to the podcast, though, weren't you? I mean, I'm guessing that was, you know, your first port of call every single day, was it not?
Well, when I thought about recouping losses, yeah. The last thing I needed to do was listen to this podcast, chaps. Thankfully, I've had 2 weeks without a losing nap, which is good news.
Put the top of the table out, then.
Should we get stuck in?
Yeah, why not?
Do it.
Let's get stuck in. We'll start with the televised games, as always. And at White Hart Lane is where we go first. 12:30 kickoff on Saturday. And it's Spurs versus Watford. And Tottenham are odds on, long odds on, 2-7 Spurs. The draw 4-1, Watford in the betting at 11-1. The enhanced odds, Christian Eriksen to score and Spurs to win, was 11-8. That's been enhanced to 6-4. And Troy Deeney, who's in good goal scoring form at the moment, for him to score and Watford to win, that was 20-1. It's now 33-1. Derek, Spurs kept their slim title hopes alive, scoring three times in the final few minutes against Swansea to win midweek. Watford have won two in a row without conceding now as well. And I got Watford badly wrong, Derek, because every time I watched them, I was convinced they were going to be in a relegation struggle. But maybe I underestimated how many bad sides there are down at the bottom of the table, Derek.
I think that must be the reason, because they're in 10th place, Watford, and that's just that. They're in the top half of the table. That sentence alone tells you how bad this Premier League is. The fact that Chelsea are 7 points clear at the top is fact, no, exhibit B, because, you know, we've seen in the last few weeks that they are far from being an outstanding team. Tottenham are certainties here. Yeah, a couple of seasons ago, you'd have seen Tottenham at these kind of prices, what, 2-7, 1-4. You wouldn't touch it with a barge pole, but it's a formality, this, because Watford have done it now, haven't they? I mean, the two matches you mentioned they've won, well, they've beaten Sunderland, who everybody beat, and they beat West Brom, who we suggested a couple of weeks ago might be on the beach. Well, Watford will be on the beach this week. In fact, Walter Mazzari will probably turn up in his Speedos, because it's, you know, they've done all the hard work. They're in 10th, nothing to play for. They're going to Tottenham, where every team loses now. Tottenham got an unbelievable home record. And, if you know, I'll tell you what, all Spurs have to do to keep the pressure really up on Chelsea is fix their away form. And I know several Malaysian businessmen willing to do that for them. I think Tottenham are still in with a real chance, you know, 7 points behind Chelsea. But Chelsea are catchable, believe me. And this title race is not over yet. Tottenham will win this, absolute certainty. And they'll probably win it to nil, because Watford's away record of scoring goals away from home is absolutely diabolical. I think they failed to score in 5 of their last 7 Premier League away games, and they haven't kept a clean sheet in any of their last 9 on the road. So there's 2 stats for you that makes you think Tottenham are going to win to nil. It's just a nailed on victory, this.
Shade of odds on, by the way. Tottenham to win to nil, 10-11 here with William Hill. Derek mentioned Spurs' home record, Tom, is exceptional. Unbeaten in 15 successive league home games now, winning 13 of those and drawing 2. That's their best run in the league since back in May 2011. They've only got 4 home games remaining this season, and only 13 teams in the history of the Premier League have gone a season unbeaten at home. Chelsea, the last team to do that back in 2014-2015. Is this a formality for Spurs here, Tom?
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, the only thing I disagree with Derek on there is the fact that I think the title race is over. I mean, Tottenham might close that gap at some stage, and I've been really, really impressed with Tottenham's response, you know, mainly to losing Harry Kane, because, you know, he is the main source of goals. He is the, you know, such a key player for them up front. It goes without saying. But, you know, other players have stepped up, none more so than Heung-min Son, who I've backed a number of times this season anytime. Surprisingly, I've never put him up as a nap, or rarely have done. So, you know, I might have to change that today. But he is a player who has got sort of 5 goals in his last 4 matches as well. So, you know, he's been scoring goals. Crucial one, of course, against Swansea. And that result at Swansea was absolutely massive. I mean, you know, there aren't many teams in the Premier League I'd back, you know, 88 minutes gone to get a result from the game, never mind win the match. And Tottenham probably are one of those few teams. They're resilient, they're strong. I just wonder whether Tottenham's place in history, this current Tottenham team, might be, you know, the kind of almost team. We might look back at this side in sort of 6, 7, 8 years and think, yeah, they were, you know, they're a really good team, but ultimately, did they ever cross the line? And that might just be the problem for them. It will be the problem for them this season. It's too big a gap to surmount, but this is a game, and the next couple of matches are games you would expect to win before, of course, they go to before they play Chelsea in the FA Cup, and then they've got a potentially couple of trickier away matches. But this should be an absolute formality for Tottenham, and they'll win comfortably. And I looked at Watford, and their results after they win a game tend to be not very good. You know, they're a streaky side, and they seem to get results when they're under pressure. And every now and then they surprise us, but generally their form is poor, and Tottenham's is way too strong at home. So, yeah, Tottenham will win. They won't concede, and I'm going to back Heung-min Son here in a Tottenham win any time at 17-20.
He's 4-5 now, Heung-min Son, to score any time. That's a complete difference from what we saw earlier on in the season. I know there's no Harry Kane here, but they've cottoned on, haven't they, the compilers now?
Yeah, they have, and you know, as I say, he's somebody who's kind of, you know, everyone talks about when Harry Kane was injured earlier on this season, it was time for Vincent Janssen to step up, but Heung-min Son, who's kind of one of those players, he can play in obviously a number of positions, but he's pretty clinical in front of goal, and you know, he certainly proved that the other night. So I think if I'm looking at any goal scorer, that's where my money would be going. Also, set pieces, Watford have had a tendency of conceding quite a few this season, so might be time for one of the men from the back to cause a few problems for Watford as well.
Bournemouth versus Chelsea is next, 5:30, televised on Saturday. Bournemouth are 5-1 to win the match. The draw 13-5 with Chelsea in the betting at 8-13. The enhanced odds, Josh King to score and Bournemouth to win, was 17-2. That's been enhanced to 12-1. And Eden Hazard to score and Chelsea to win was 7-4. That's now 2-1. I think that could attract a few people as well, Tom, that enhanced odds offer for Hazard to score in a Chelsea win, because Hazard has scored in 3 times in 3 previous Premier League appearances against Bournemouth and got that double midweek as well. So I think that could attract a few punters.
Without a doubt. And this is a game I think that will attract you know, quite a few punters really in terms of goals in this game. I mean, Bournemouth at home, they've given a few scares to teams, haven't they? Some of the top sides, you know, the top 6 sides have been down to Bournemouth. And you know, I think if they've come away with a result, they've been pretty satisfied. So, you know, Bournemouth have the tendency, I think, at home to sort of raise it against, you know, a team like Chelsea. And we talked about Chelsea now for probably the last month, 6 weeks, and we've talked about them being a side that will concede goals now. They're a team that are just about kind of getting over the line. That's kind of what they're about. But they're winning games 2-1. I mean, that's the general scoreline that they've been getting. 2-1 against Manchester City, a 2-1 defeat against Crystal Palace, 2-1 against Stoke, 2-1 against West Ham, 3-1 against Swansea. Chelsea are far from a team that will keep clean sheets, and they're going up against a team that at home, wherever they've been this season, whatever kind of run they've been in, I always back Bournemouth to score, and I think they'll probably be good for 1, maybe even 2 goals. Chelsea know, I think if they come away with a point, knowing that Tottenham will win, I don't know if they'll deem it to be a great, you know, a great result. They want to keep that 7-point. They will not want that 7-point gap getting any tighter. So, I've got to back Chelsea. I can't back against them, and I think that Bournemouth, while, you know, I think they're probably safe for another season of Premier League football after recent results. There's going to be goals in this game, and I've got to stick to the bet that's seen as, you know, make a bit of profit on Chelsea in recent weeks. It's Chelsea and both teams to score here at 5-2.
Yeah, 5-2 Chelsea to win the game and both teams to score. Derek, you've been one of Chelsea's, not biggest critics this season, but you've questioned they've not been as good as the league table suggests, and that difference between them and the second place. You must be backing them to slip up this week, or backing against them this week.
But this is Grand National weekend, and to me, Chelsea are giving signs that they could do a crisp. Remember Chris when he was sending out distress signals long before the elbow went in Red Rum's first year? You two guys are probably too young to remember that, but I was on crisp that day. Oh, scarred me for life. Should have put me off betting for life. Yeah, in recent weeks, Chelsea have got 3 wins in their last 4 Premier League games. But they've just got over the line each time. You know, I suppose admirers of Chelsea could say, well, they're doing the job, they're doing a professional job. But they're only one bad decision, one penalty kick from a slip-up. And they're playing the side now that's in form. A few weeks ago, I think they might have been, you, Tom, was questioning Bournemouth's home form. They weren't getting the amount of wins you'd expected from them. But they've done nothing wrong on home territory in recent weeks. In fact, they've won as many home games in the league as Manchester City have, which is quite an incredible statistic. I like the look of them here, you know. They give Liverpool a real go going over in midweek, and, you know, I think they probably deserve that draw in the end. They've only lost one in their last six, and they're 9-2 to beat the Chelsea side, who, in my eyes, are wobbling. I'm all over Bournemouth here, I really am.
Do you remember Devon Luck?
Derek. Yeah, I used to finish like Devon Lock. Yeah, I mean, I'm not that old, Dave, but obviously I do remember. I tell you, going on Chelsea, you know, if two aliens would have beamed down to Stamford Bridge on Wednesday, they wouldn't have known what to laugh at more. The fact that the two teams on display were considered genuine title challenges because it was a poor game, or David Luiz's haircut. I mean, I'm not having Chelsea being a superb team. They're a million miles away from the Arsenal team that went through the season unbeaten, and many more, and Man United teams of recent years as well under Fergie. They're a million miles away from that.
That must hurt to say something like that, Derek, about a Ferguson
team. I know, it does. Oh, believe me. Take Leicester away from the equation. And I would say, if Chelsea win this, I'm going to say they'll be the poorest title winners for a long time, Chelsea.
Tom?
It's hard to disagree. I mean, obviously, you know, comparing them with the Invincibles and a team that won successive titles over and over again, I don't know, they're kind of a wishy-washy side, aren't they? Because it's pretty much the same set of players that performed absolutely abysmally last year. So I don't think they're a particularly great side, but that's what I admire about them in this season. They've been far better than anyone else, so I think that says more about the other teams in the league than maybe Chelsea. Chelsea can only do what they've had to do, and what they've done, and no other team have been able to do it, is be pretty, pretty sound defensively, and they have been for a big chunk of the season. And they've been scoring goals when they need to, and that's what you need to win a title. They've not really been pressed, have they? That's the issue. And I suppose as a neutral, you know, and, you know, taking away the fact that I backed Chelsea at the beginning of the season, maybe you want, you know, Tottenham to maybe close that gap and see how they react. But, you know, this is the kind of game that they'll probably get through. And to be honest, their home matches that are coming up this season, Southampton, Sunderland and Middlesbrough, they'll wrap the title up at Stamford Bridge. Forget the away games.
Sunderland versus Manchester United is the 1:30 game on Sunday. Sunderland 8-1 to win the match. The draw 7-2 with Manchester United 4-11. Selected enhanced odds bets here. Jermaine Defoe to score and Sunderland to win was 11-1. That's been enhanced to 16-1. Paul Pogba to score and Manchester United to win was 12-5. That's been enhanced to 3-1. Derek, I keep hearing from former Manchester United players that things are improving and it's maybe not been replicated in the results yet, and they have drawn too many games this season, particularly at Old Trafford. But every time I see them, they look terrible, Manchester United, and they were fortunate to keep that unbeaten run going against Everton midweek.
Yeah, they were. Early in the season, around about Christmas, I thought they'd probably be emerged as title challengers. But how foolish those words have looked now, because they've—I don't know what it is. I just can't put my finger on what's wrong with them. I mean, everything seems to revolve, so the press would have us believe, about around Ibrahimovic. But that guy's so lazy; he has moss growing. Honestly, God, I watch him. If he could live his life all over again, he'd ask someone else to do it for him. Because he takes me back to the Dimitar Berbatov days. Yeah, yeah. As a kid, Berbatov watched Maradona on telly and knew then what he wanted to do for the rest of his life: watch telly. Because Ibrahimovic is as lazy. I can't see. He's got about 16 goals this season. He should have had 600. The chances he's had. I said a long time ago, I don't see it in this guy. And I'm still sticking by that, despite 16 goals. To me, he's the problem for United. I know that none of the supporting cast have been weighing in with goals, but everything seems to revolve around him. And there's no dynamism from him. I don't see anything from him, to be honest. And as long as he's the first choice in the Man United lineup, I don't see him doing anything, to be honest. There's also, added to that, is the fact that United have got the Europa League coming up. And Mourinho, the manager, has already said that, you know, that's their best route into the Champions League, winning that. So you could argue that you know, they're looking a bit adrift now from the top four. You could argue that United might give up the ghost in the league and concentrate everything on safety. I think it would be foolish to do that, but they might do that. You don't want to take that chance when you're back and forth to 11 pokes. Sunderland will show little attacking intent. We know that. And when I say little, I mean zero. Because they haven't scored a goal in six matches. I mean, and never looked like scoring either. I don't know what to think about this. All I can see is a low-scoring game. You know what? It wouldn't surprise me at all if this finishes 0-0. In fact, I'll back under 1.5 goals at, I think it's around the 9-4 mark that I see. I like the look of that.
The 0-0 draw, by the way, is 12-1. Derek's bet there, under 1.5 goals in the game. It's actually 3-1. Under 1.5 goals, so it's a decent price there. And what Derek was saying about the Europa League being their primary target now, it's replicated in the prices as well, because to win the Europa League, they're 5-4, Tom. To finish in the top four now, 7-2, Manchester United. They're destined to finish sixth in the league, I think.
I think they are. Too many draws this season. It's been a big problem. And, you know, forget Ibrahimovic. I mean, I think he's done what he can do as a player at sort of his stage in his career. I think he's done brilliantly. The big problem for Manchester United and the big subject, the elephant in the room, I suppose people haven't really been discussing yet, is Paul Pogba. How he's gotten away with this season. Absolute nonsense when you spend that kind of money to suggest he needs a season of settling in. I mean, you know, when you're spending £90+ million, you need a player to come in, you know, grab the team by the scruff of the neck, and he's still a young player, but he's somebody who's got, you know, a load of experience and has played in a top team the last few years of his career. And I was a big fan of him, but he has been so disappointing. And the problem is, for Mourinho, is, you know, I know he's had injuries and a few little issues, but, you know, when you spend that kind of money on a player, you know, he's not going to hang him out to dry like Luke Shaw and a few others. So there's issues at Manchester United, and, you know, they're not playing with great fluency. They will put all their eggs in that Europa League basket. And, you know, they're going to a Sunderland team who, well, they've given up the goose, haven't they? I think they've got no chance, absolutely zero chance of staying up. And at home, the results have been so poor. People might look at, you know, Tottenham and Liverpool and getting results against them at home, but they don't score goals. You know, at home in all competitions, they scored one in their last six, and that was a consolation goal against Stoke City. And they've been, you know, comfortably beaten. And if they don't score, then Manchester United have got enough, I think, maybe just to sneak it. But it's going to be edgy. I don't think there's going to be too many goals in it, but I cannot back Sunderland to get a result here. And with Ibrahimovic back in the mix, I'm going to back Manchester United to win and under 2.5 goals here at 11-5.
Very good. That's Sunderland versus Manchester United. On to Everton versus Leicester at Goodison. 4 p.m. kickoff. Everton odds on at 8-11 to win the match. The draw 14-5. Leicester City in the betting at 4-1. Enhanced odds. Ross Barkley to score and Everton to win was 5-2. That's been enhanced to 3-1. And Riyad Mahrez to score and Leicester to win was 17-2. That's been enhanced to 12-1. Craig Shakespeare could equal the Premier League record for consecutive wins at the start of his managerial career in this competition with a victory in this game. He's got 5 wins so far. The record currently held by both Pep Guardiola and Carlo Ancelotti. And Jamie Vardy's scoring goals as well now, Tom. He's got 5 in 6 since Shakespeare took over. I suppose it still needs to be remembered that Leicester City have only picked up 6 points away from home this season. But this is a different Leicester. It's a cliche, but it's a different Leicester City now.
Yeah, and you almost feel Craig Shakespeare's rubbing his hands together about sort of getting that stat onto the top of his LinkedIn profile. I think that might be, you know, this could be the biggest achievement, you know, well, it will be the biggest achievement of his career, there's no doubt. But, you know, it's ticked every box, hasn't it, since he's taken charge of the team. It's everything that kind of people predicted and expected, really. And, yeah, Leicester are a force once again. And this probably has the look of being one of the most appetising games of the weekend for me, because I think there can be a lot of goals. And it's two sides that are generally, you know, brimming with confidence. I know that Everton, of course, were denied against Manchester United in midweek, and, you know, they played pretty well. And I know they weren't great against Liverpool in the derby, but take that out of it. Generally, their form is good, and it's very impressive at home. They're scoring a lot of goals, 22 goals in the 6 wins that they've had in the spin. They've lost just 2 of their last 14 Premier League matches. And, of course, Leicester resurgent, 15 goals in their last 6 matches. I don't predict either defence to kind of be on top here. And there probably is a thing, because Leicester beat Everton in the Cup, didn't they, at Goodison? And that was only a narrow victory, but I don't think it'll be the case here. I think it'll be a little bit more open, and you know, I think both teams will obviously be going for it. I'm just going to play goals in this game. I mean, I think there's a, you know, you could look at Lukaku and Vardy both to score in a match. They'll both be you know, short prices, but you could maybe double them up. But I'm going to play the goals here. I can't see anything other than plenty of them. And the traders are onto it. Over 2.5 is 4-5. But I'm going to back over 3.5 at 9-4. I think Leicester will attract a lot of attention when people look at the price over the next couple of days before kickoff at 4-1 and think you'd back Leicester at the moment to probably beat anybody. And I wouldn't put anybody off it. But I think this is destined to have a boatload of goals.
Over 3.5, 9-4. I think any other week, Derek, Tom would be spot on here. And they'd be fielding a lot of cash, William Hill, for Leicester City at 4-1. But they have the Champions League midweek. Yeah.
That's why the 4-1, isn't it? I mean, you look at that and, you know, you'd have been all over that, like a cheap suit 4-1 Leicester, the way they're playing. I mean, the manager, Shakespeare, he's the heading for the greatest manager of all time, as well as the greatest playwright of all time, with the record he's got. It's unbelievable. And Leicester went to Everton in January when they were playing crap, by the way, Leicester, and still won. And you watch Everton, the way they performed at Liverpool last midweek, absolutely useless. You know, you think, well, why can't Leicester win? And then it all boils down to what's happening next week. You know, they're safe in the league now, Leicester. 11th place, 36 points. They ain't going down. What's in it for them? What's in it going to Everton? There's nothing in it when they've got the biggest game of their lives coming up next week. A game, you know, they won the league last year, but to get to the later stage of the Champions League would trump that. That's all that matters to them. And, you know, I hate saying this. I'm going to have to oppose Leicester. 4-1 a couple of weeks ago, you'd have been on it all over it. But I'm going to have to back Everton, I'm afraid, because I just don't see Leicester trying a leg.
You've got to look at Romelu Lukaku as well here. His home scoring form is sensational. He's got 13 in 14 at Goodison in the Premier League this season. Much better home record than away from Goodison. He's 10-11 to score any time, Lukaku, and he's 4-1 to get two or more in the game as well. On to Monday night then. This is the last of the televised matches. Crystal Palace versus Arsenal at London Derby. And it's 17-5 Palace to win the match. The draw 14-5 with Arsenal in the betting at 3-4. Enhanced odds, Christian Benteke to score and Palace to win was 6-1, now 8-1. And Alexis Sanchez to score and Arsenal to win was 6-4, now 7-4. Palace are 3 points clear of Swansea with a game in hand, despite being beaten by Southampton in midweek. And Derek, there's never been much love lost between these two managers. Arsene Wenger has generally had the best of it, as you would imagine. Allardyce has actually lost 15 times to Wenger in the Premier League, the most defeats he has had against any manager in the competition. I thought Arsenal were going to finish outside the top four for much of the season, but they might just edge their way to fourth again, Derek.
How? Who are they going to overhaul? I don't see it.
No.
They've got a game in hand, or two, what is it, over Liverpool, but a game in hand for Arsenal doesn't, you know, used to translate into 3 points. It doesn't any longer. This is a shocking Arsenal side. You know, we're wondering what happened to Arsenal and what happened to Wenger. The biggest mystery at Arsenal is, what does Steve Bould do? He sits there with a baldy head. He doesn't do a thing, does he? He's writing a book about his time at Arsenal. It doesn't have a title yet. I mean, he's just... you remember a few years ago when Wenger came in for Stick? You know, I was going through a similar time like this, and all the prawn sandwich munchers at Arsenal got up there, hot under the collar. And, you know, wanted him out. And they didn't want him out. Instead of saying, we want Wenger out, they launched the campaign to get rid of Pat Rice as number two. Something's going wrong here. It can't be Arsene's fault. It must be the number two. We'll get you out of him. So, Bowl is the mystery. But Arsenal as well, I mean, they've got better players there than their former suggested this season. I mean, you know, let's be honest. They should be doing an awful lot better than they are. But that win against West Ham in midweek just papers over the cracks. This is a side that aren't playing any longer for the manager. I like the look of Palace here. I think they're a rattling good bet. The defeat against Southampton, maybe it's woken them up a little bit. Maybe they thought things were getting a bit too easy for them. Beating, you know, four successive wins on the spin, beating Chelsea. Maybe you thought, well, you know, we're safe now. But you look at the league table and they're not. 31 points. Only 3 points ahead of Swansea. They've still got a lot of work to do. And I think they'll beat Arsenal here. I do. I think they'll be up for it, definitely, because they need to be up for it. And the fact that Allardyce, hippo head, hates Wenger, I mean, there's another reason to back him. I'm going to be backing Palace all day here.
I wouldn't be backing Man City at 1-8 to finish in that top four, in all honesty. I know that it is an outside chance for Arsenal to finish top four, the 9-4 to get in the top four this season and continue that record. 3-4, the Gunners here, Tom. Do you agree or disagree with Derek?
You never mind Steve Bold. When there was protests on a few weeks ago, someone had a banner that said Akers out. Vic Akers, the kit man. I'm not joking.
It's about time, not before time.
He said Wenger out, Bold out, and then he said Akers out. And I thought, what's the kit man done? You know, he's held that job since 1996. I mean, you know, ridiculous. But anyway, I can't back Arsenal against anybody at the moment. And when you're looking at Crystal Palace, you know, we've talked about this a few times. They have, without question, the most difficult running of all the teams down at the bottom of the table. You know, the next few matches, got Arsenal and Leicester coming to Sellers Park. They then go to Liverpool. They then host Tottenham. You know, they then take on Burnley. They've got Man City and Manchester United to play as well. They've got Hull City as well. They, you know, Palace will probably look at their fixtures and think, we've got to win this game. And actually, of all the remaining games, this is one of the more winnable matches. Until maybe Hull and Burnley come to Sellers Park, this is a game that I bet Sam Allardyce has probably earmarked and think, yeah, we'll get right up for it. We'll get in their faces. We'll make it tough for Arsenal. And I'm not having Arsenal after that midweek victory. West Ham were absolutely abysmal. I mean, it was like a training match the way Arsenal, you know, Arsenal still looked demotivated. They didn't really have any kind of spring in their step. But even though their players couldn't resist sort of turning it on against a team that gave them that much space, and they basically just walked through them. So I'm not having anything that Arsenal have kind of turned things around. And going to Sellers Park, Sellers Park, the form for Palace has completely deserted them this season. They're barely scoring goals. Two nervy 1-0 wins that they've had against Middlesbrough and Watford. I don't think it'll be that kind of match. I think there will be a few goals in the game, but I can't look past Crystal Palace. I'm unless I see dramatic improvement for Arsenal over the next three or four games, I'm probably going to oppose Arsenal in every single game they play, but certainly this weekend.
Crystal Palace, the pick there. Crystal Palace 17-5 to beat Arsenal, who are 3-4 with the draw 14-5. Let's move on to the non-televised matches this weekend, and we'll start with Manchester City versus Hull at the Etihad, and it's 2-9 City to win this game. The draw 5-1, Hull in the betting at 12-1. Enhanced odds, Leroy Sané to score and Man City to win was 23-20, now 11-8, and Umar Niasse to score and Hull to win was 22-1. That's been enhanced to 33-1. Tom, unbelievable job Marco Silva has done at Hull. Reminiscent maybe of when Mauricio Pochettino arrived at Southampton and replaced Nigel Adkins. The Telegraph have done a piece on Little Englander syndrome in English football, where a foreign manager comes over and he's stealing jobs from managers that have proved themselves in the lower leagues, English managers. But he's done an incredible job at Hull. And if you'd have said to me at Christmas they were going to be outside the relegation zone, I'd have thought you were mad. At one point, I thought they were going to get relegated into League One. They were that bad, and just skip the Championship altogether. It's incredible that we're here, and Hull have a genuine chance of survival.
If Marco Silva keeps them up, there's a case that you'd have him as well. He is one of the managers of the season. It's quite remarkable, and the clip that keeps going around, I know a few Hull fans, is of the Sky Sports sort of Soccer Saturday pundits when he got the job that week, absolutely slating the guy. And at the time I could understand it. You know, people thought this was another kind of bonkers decision from owners who've received quite a lot of criticism, but they've clearly done their research and their homework. This is a guy who has taken his opportunity in the Premier League. The amazing thing for Hull is the injury list is as bad as any team in the Premier League, if not the worst in terms of key players. They lost their top scorer. He's still their top scorer, Robert Snodgrass, and they sold him for big money. They lost players like Ryan Mason, Jake Livermore, who was an absolute key player to them. They've lost these players, but they just keep going, and their home form might be enough just to keep them up. Now, I'm looking at this whole side, and the home form is incredible, right? The results have been great. But obviously, their away results have not been fantastic. They've not been awful in terms of, you know, who they've been playing against. They played Arsenal, you know, Leicester and Everton and Chelsea recently and Manchester United. So they've had a tough run of games away from home. But I look at Manchester City and I look at their home form, and they, you know, in the home league table, they're ninth. They've won half of their 14 Premier League games. So the Etihad is by no means a fortress. And their recent results, Man City, you know, I know they've played Arsenal, Chelsea and Liverpool, and they've scored goals in all those games. But, you know, they've not really stamped their authority on any of those matches. So I don't think they're in particularly great shapes. And I think Hull will be boosted beyond belief by the fact they're out of the relegation zone, and anything they pick up here, of course, is a massive bonus. One thing I would look at Man City in their recent home forms is they've either failed to beat, or they've only narrowly beaten by one goal, the likes of Sunderland, Middlesbrough, Burnley and Swansea at home. They're four games without a win. They have found it tough against teams of similar ilk to Hull, if not worse teams. And I've got a back Hull in some capacity here. So the bet I'm picking out here is Hull plus two goals at 11-8. I'm not, City will score, I've no doubt about it, but Hull have the capability. They've got their tails up, and Man City's home form, and the way they've narrowly got past or failed to get past poor sides in the Premier League, I've got to be with Hull here, and I'm going to give them a two-goal head start at 11-8.
Is this a situation, Derek, as well, with that midweek result against Chelsea? I know they probably didn't have any chance of winning the title anyway, but that extinguished all hope. Could it be a letdown for City this weekend?
Yeah, it could. You got that impression, didn't you? I thought they were really poor in the later stages. It was a massive match for them. They had to get something from that. And when they went 2-1 down, I didn't really see a response from them. They seemed to me to be going through the motions. And their recent record, I tell you, 1-5, City, that could be a worse bet only if I backed it, which I might yet do, by the way. I can't back them. I mean, you could actually make a decent case for Hull, given the way they've shaped under Silva. It's just their way forward. You look at their recent last six matches, they've got three wins, a draw and two defeats. Now, the worry for Hull back is that those defeats came against Everton and Leicester, the only informed sides in that group. The other matches came against Middlesbrough, useless, West Ham, useless, Swansea, mostly useless, Burnley, semi-useless.
I love your ranking system, Derek.
You couldn't say, this is a big step up. I can't back City in their current shape at 1-5, but a Hull at 12-1, I don't think that's given too much away, funnily enough. All I can see is that both sides will score, and it's just under even for both sides to score, so I'll play safe and go with that one.
West Brom versus Southampton up next. West Brom 9-5 to win the game. The draw 21-10. Southampton are 8-5. Enhanced odds, Nasser Chadli to score and West Brom to win was 9-2, now 6-1. And Dusan Tadic to score and Southampton to win was 4-1. That's been enhanced to 5-1. There's been a bit of a move for West Brom, Derek, earlier this week and this morning as well. And I suppose it's understandable based on their home form, which has been very good this season. They've actually picked up 29 points from their 15 home games this season so far. That's their joint best return at this stage of a Premier League season alongside 2012-2013. But as you and Tom have commented on this podcast, previous editions, West Brom might have hung it up for the season.
Yeah, well, Southampton too. In fact, both managers have asked if they can move this match to Skegness Beach. I mean, because they'll all be turning up in flip-flops. I've got no idea who'll win this, but you probably knew that already anyway. It's impossible. The prices, there's nothing, what Southampton aren't as underpriced as they normally are, although, at 6-4, 11-8, wherever they are, they won't get a pound of my money. West Brom, I just don't know what to think about them now. Defeat by the game against Man United, they were excellent. Then you follow that up by losing to Watford. How can you lose to Watford? I've got no idea. I'm just going to play safe and go for the draw.
Yeah, I would as well, actually. 21-10, biggest price of the three, the draw in this match. And I'm with Derek here, Tom. I've not got a clue what's going to happen in this.
I do. West Brom are going to win.
You think so?
Yeah, I do. I'm pretty confident with them at home, chaps. They lost that game against Crystal Palace. I can understand why people might look at West Brom and think, they've done their job. Where's the kind of ceiling for them? Well, they've reached it, haven't they? But, I think they're a better side than Southampton. I think they're a tougher side. And I think at home I'm prepared to bat them. I've got to look at trends over a longer period of time. And, over the course of the last sort of 2-3 months, or certainly in 2017, they've disposed of teams like Hull and Sunderland, Stoke, Bournemouth and Arsenal with relative ease at home. And it's enough for me to still think that they've got enough. I mean, they'd won 8 and drawn 1 before that defeat to Palace. So the defeat to Palace and Watford, that could send alarm bells ringing for people who want to back West Brom again. I understand that. But Southampton are so inconsistent. I mean, they've recently lost to West Ham and Swansea, so they ain't no better. And West Brom at home, I'm prepared to back. And normally as well, Tony Pulis's sides, you know, get a reaction after a bit of a shock defeat. They certainly had that after the defeat to Crystal Palace, and I'm going to bat them to get that again at you know, after that defeat to Watford. You know, it's a decent point for them at Manchester United as well. So defensively, they're still resolute, and at home, I'd bat them on set pieces to score one or two goals. So I'm going to bat them.
9-5 West Brom. Tom's pick in that match. Stoke versus Liverpool next, and Stoke are 3-1 to win the game. They draw 12-5. With Liverpool 19-20, the enhanced odds, Marko Arnautovic to score and Stoke to win, was 13-2, now 8-1. Philip Coutinho to score and Liverpool to win, was 12-5, now 3-1. I think he's vitally important for them as well, Tom. It's going to be a situation that becomes desperate in the summer if they lose Philip Coutinho. I think some of the big clubs are going to be in for him.
Well, I mean, you know, I think they've kind of sent, Barcelona had sent agent Neymar, haven't they, during the international break to, you know, sort of do his best, really, to tempt him towards, Barcelona. And yeah, potentially that might be the case. I mean, you know, Liverpool, again, you know, they've got a ceiling in terms of their wages and, you know, Coutinho will probably look to cash in. Look, there's key players in this Liverpool side that when you take one or two of them out of him, none more so than Mane. I mean, he's the one player who's got something completely different. But the three key players for me for Liverpool going forward are Mane, Lallana and Coutinho. Now, that's not, you know, very incisive punditry because they are three of the best players in the Liverpool team. But you take one, two or all three of them out of a side and they're just not the same team. And I'm more interested when I look at this game. I think we've kind of got a little bit of a handle on Liverpool. And again, after, you know, the midweek draw, you know, against Bournemouth, I think we kind of know where Liverpool are at. That they're still very susceptible against teams below them in the table. And Stoke, on the whole, I have struggled to get a grip with them recently. And because I quite like them, and I liked them earlier on this season, and you know, if they made that bad start, they kind of came through it. And then in recent weeks, I've kind of in my head been making excuses for them with some of the defeats that they've had away from home. Well, yeah, but they were up against so-and-so and, you know, that was a tough match. And I've kind of got to snap out of that. What I look at from a positive point for Stoke, because I want to try and convince myself that Stoke are a play here, is their home form. They've only lost once at home since November, and that was that really tight one against Chelsea that could easily have gone, you know, either way. And Liverpool, for me, are just too much of a gamble against these kind of sides. You know, you're looking at the teams that they've struggled against. I don't need to reel off the list because we all know them, and Liverpool fans certainly know them. So I've got to look at Stoke here. 3-1 is not bad. And do you know what? In terms of one of the bigger price bets I'll take, I'm interested in playing them, but I'm just gonna play the draw no bet at 2-1. The plus a goal as well at 5-6 is good, but I could see a draw land and I don't want that to scupper me. So, you know, for just from 2-1 to, you know, from 3-1, I'm gonna play Stoke draw no bet here.
Draw no bet Stoke for Tom. I made it sound, Derek, like Liverpool weren't a big club then, and I do apologise for that.
Yeah, quite right. Too.
I meant some of the superpowers like Barcelona or Real Madrid might be in for Philip Coutinho in the summer. And Tom made a good point there about Liverpool struggling in games like these this season. They've actually won just half of their 16 Premier League games against sides currently in the bottom 10. Won 8, drawn 3 and lost 5 of those this season. And I think that's something that Klopp will definitely look at in the summer and try and remedy next season.
Too right. I mean, had they had the record that you'd expect from Liverpool against those sides, they'd probably be top of the league now. You know, because their record against the top side is unbelievable. I don't know. No one, you know, there's better brains than me have tried to examine why that's the case, and no one seems to know. But, you know, as long as it continues, the title is a pipe dream for them. I just got a funny feeling for Liverpool in this game now. The one thing I do hope is that Charlie Adam takes another corner. Did you see that offensive? Turn the corner for Stoke into a free kick for barely no other player within 20 yards of him. Then again, you know, when you're Charlie Adam's size, anyone 20 yards away is considered close. That was a great moment, a comedy moment of the season if you exclude Everton's two performances in the derbies. And he used to be a Liverpool player, didn't he, Charlie Adam? Mm. Yeah, you know, and in fact, Britannia now regarded as a retirement home for washed-up Liverpool players. Previously, that home was Anfield when Brendan Rodgers was there. Peter Crouch, Glenn Johnson, Charlie Adam. Liverpool rejects all.
I'm hoping they're going to come back and bite you this weekend now.
Well, yeah. Peter Crouch could probably do it from Stoke. I'd have to go for Liverpool here. I know that they were poor against Bournemouth, but if they play like they did against Everton last weekend, they'll probably lap Stoke. Then again, if you play like that every week, they wouldn't be so inconsistent. I've got to go for them. I think Stoke have given up for the season. Four blanks in their last six games. You know, it doesn't read well. they've lost to Burnley, they've lost to Leicester, lost to Chelsea, no disgrace there, lost to Tottenham 4-0, an absolute thrashing by Tottenham. Liverpool won 1-0 here last season. I can see, well, I was about to say I can see something similar, but Liverpool always concede. Yeah. 2-1 win for Liverpool here. I do fancy Liverpool, though.
15-2, Liverpool to win the game by 2-1. West Ham versus Swansea, penultimate match we're going to look at on this podcast. And the Hammers, 23-20 to win the game. The draw, 23-10, with Swansea in the betting at 12-5. Andy Carroll to score and West Ham to win was 23-10, now 3-1. And Fernando Llorente to score and Swansea to win was 9-2, now 6-1. Derek, possibly the most important match this weekend. Swansea third from bottom with 28 points. West Ham, 5 straight defeats now, plummeting towards the foot of the table. They are 6th from bottom with 33 points. And Slaven Bilic has been given the vote of confidence as well. And I was listening to Talk Sport the other day, and Dean Ashton said that that was something the hierarchy at West Ham had to do to boost Bilic's confidence. Do these former players never learn that the vote of confidence is a bad thing and not a good thing, Derek? Never works out.
I know, every football fan knows that. Why don't these club owners and things? It's crazy. And no one would have tipped in about 3 weeks ago. We were looking for teams that might get caught on the glass mountain. Bournemouth, we suggested. Burnley's form had fallen a little bit. No one tipped West Ham because they looked a comfortable mid-table side. In fact, it seems only like 4 or 5 months, they're weeks ago, that Bilic was saying that, you know, we're looking up for the top 6, top 8 or something. And that was realistic then. I don't know what's happened to them. The players seem to have lost all form. Bilic doesn't seem to know what he's doing. That said, I think odds against West Ham at home to Swansea is a fair price, you know. They went to Swansea on Boxing Day, 1-4-1, absolutely battered them there. And, you know, people going on talking up Swansea's revival under Paul Clements. Maybe so, but not away from home. I mean, they've lost to some ranked bad teams away from home recently. Bournemouth they've lost to. Hull they've lost to. Okay, Chelsea, no shame there. I don't see it away from home with Swansea. So I'm going to, I think West Ham, let's face it. You know what, if West Ham played their best and Swansea played their best, West Ham would win easily. And the odds against their home, okay, their home form is not what it should be, but it's generally against the big teams West Ham come a cropper on home soil. Against the likes of Swansea, they'll get the job done. I think it's a fair price, this West Ham. I'm going in for them.
I always feel like Bilic is the sort of manager as well, Tom, that gets a response when he needs one. When Dimitri Payet was stirring the hornet's nest, they came back after Payet had left and went on that good run. And now they're in a similar sort of situation in terms of the adversity at the club, and they're in real danger of being relegated now. So if they're ever going to win a game for Bilic, it will be this weekend.
Well, it's probably got to be this weekend as well. I mean, you know, Bilic has just cut a forlorn figure all season. You know, I referred to it earlier on in the campaign. You know, he was doing the punditry during the Euros, you know, for ITV, and everyone just sort of looked at him and just thought, well, this guy's brilliant. I mean, we got an insight into what he's like, you know, probably day to day at a training ground, and you think, you know, this guy's on, you know, he's going to be a really, really good manager and do great things at West Ham. But he's been undermined, you know, by a board that they just don't keep their mouth shut. You know, they're never off social media. And, you know, I understand about the vote of confidence, but the vote of confidence normally comes when a manager's not doing too well. And so that's why, inevitably, unless you can suddenly, you know, miraculously turn it around, they normally end up losing their job not long after. And, you know, I don't know. West Ham have got her at a big crossroads. But when I look at Swansea, you know, Fernando Llorente has been such a big loss for them. You know, even in midweek, they could have scored more goals. They were putting in some decent service into the box. The kind of crosses that Llorente has been sort of gobbling up of late since Paul Clement came, and they haven't had the chance to do so. Away from home, Swansea have got to improve because they go to West Ham, they've got Watford, Manchester United and Sunderland as their remaining away matches. So they've got to start picking up some points on the road if they're to get something. The incentive for them is huge, of course, because they know that Hull, I mean, we talked about Hull earlier, but you know, they have a tough match and they could go to within, a couple of points of West Ham with a victory. So it's a massive game from West Ham's point of view, but from Swansea's point of view, but also from West Ham's. And yeah, I mean, I agree with everything Derek said there. I can see sort of West Ham in this kind of situation through a little bit of adversity as well, probably coming out on top. And there's nothing really in Swansea's away form to suggest they can be back. So yeah, I'm with West Ham on this one, reluctantly probably, but I think West Ham are the bet.
And we finish with Middlesbrough versus Burnley, another bottom of the table clash here. And Borough are 7-5 to win the game. The draw 2-1. Burnley 11-5. Alvaro Negredo to score and Middlesbrough to win. Wolves 14-5, now 7-2. And Andre Gray to score and Burnley to win was 9-2. That's been enhanced to 6-1. Derek, you've been for Burnley a few times away from home this season. Are you going to go with them again here?
Well, I've come a cropper, haven't I? I thought, you know, this is their best chance, isn't it? You know, surely, I've got my mind. You said that against Sunderland a couple of weeks ago.
I've got it written down here saying, Derek, please don't go for Burnley away from home again this season. If they're going to win one...
You look at it there, and zero, big zero staring me right in the face. It's actually laughing at me now. I'm looking at it and it's laughing at me, that zero. I can't go for them again. I'll tell you why I can't. I mean, I want to oppose Middlesbrough. We've been saying that they can't score, Middlesbrough. And I suggested in that game against Swansea when they drew 0-0 last week that, there's signs there that they're throwing caution to the wind. I know we finished 0-0, but the signs that they might actually have a bit more of an attacking bent. And then that happened against in Hull in midweek. That was writ large against Hull, but they forgot to defend and conceded four against Hull. But this looked about a week ago. This looked on paper an absolute nailed-on 0-0 draw. You can't be sure now because of the way Middlesbrough have turned, well, not turned results around, but turned their tactics around. It's a tough one. This. I'm going to go for a draw. I'm going to go. I can't. Burnley cost me too much money, and no way will I be back in Middlesbrough because they've just forgotten how to win. A draw. Burnley will be made up with a draw. Middlesbrough won't. They need to win, but I don't think they're capable of it.
Yeah, Burnley, if they draw, it would take them on to 36 points, Tom. And Middlesbrough, as Derek just mentioned, they desperately need a win. They're 5 points behind Swansea and 7 points away from safety, albeit with a game in hand on Hull City at the moment. So it is desperate for Middlesbrough now.
Desperate, and with this fixture, I think if you offered me a free ticket and said there's a winning lottery ticket on your seat, but you've got to watch the match, I'd probably politely turn you down. I mean, Middlesbrough away from on their remaining fixtures, they've got to go to Chelsea, to Liverpool. We might be the best chance of getting a result, actually, Liverpool and Bournemouth. So their home matches have got to yield something here. And Derek's right. I know a Middlesbrough fan, and he said to me, it's like Steve Agnew's flicked a switch, and we've gone completely the other way, and we can't do it. You know, it kind of has to be a gradual process. The problem is they don't have time to kind of, alter the balance of that Middlesbrough side that has been so set in their ways this season. I think the draw looks extremely tempting here. You know, you're looking at the draws that they've had recently at home, against West Brom, Everton and Leicester. They don't score too many at home, and I know they'll be a little bit more open, which potentially leads me to thinking there could be a couple of goals. And I might look at something like the 1-1 here at 11-2, but Burnley's certainly good enough for a result, and Middlesbrough not quite good enough for the victory. So I think all things here point to the draw at 2-1.
2-1. The draw for the chaps in Middlesbrough versus Burnley. That brings us to the conclusion of the podcast. Just the naps to come. Tom, you lead us off this weekend.
Okay.
What's your best bet?
I'm going for this mainly because it's going against you two. So I'm and that's my main reason here. I'm going for West Brom.
West Brom to win 9-5. The Baggies to win this weekend. Mr. McGovern?
Slim pickings this week, aren't there? Nothing's leaping out at me here. I'll take a punt on Palace 10-3 at home to Arsenal.
100-30. West Brom with Crystal Palace, 9-5 and 100-30 respectively. I'm going to go for Lukaku to score two or more this weekend at 4-1 against Leicester, who will have Champions League aspirations on their minds. So Lukaku to get two or more this weekend. So that treble, West Brom at 9-5, Palace at 100-30, and Lukaku to score two or more at 4-1. Just a shade under 60-1, chaps, the treble this weekend. Thank you for your company, Derek.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened. Remember to download this podcast via audioboom.com. You can check us out on iTunes as well and tell your friends. Thank you for listening to the Punt Podcast. And myself, Derek and Tom will be back next weekend.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill. Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now.